threat posed by Al-Qaeda and the success of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques to date. The July 20th, 2007 OLC memorandum states, "The CIA interrogation program, and in particular its use of enhanced interrogation techniques, is intended to serve this paramount interest, security of the nation, by producing substantial quantities of otherwise unavailable intelligence. The CIA believes that this program has been a key reason why Al-Qaeda has failed to launch a spectacular attack in the West since 11th of September 2001. We understand that use of enhanced techniques has produced significant intelligence that the government has used to keep the nation safe. As the president explained in his September 6, 2006 speech, by giving us information about terrorist plans we could not get anywhere else, the program has saved innocent lives. For example, we understand that enhanced interrogation techniques proved particularly crucial in the interrogations of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Abu Zubaydah. Interrogations of Zubaydah, again, once enhanced techniques were employed, revealed two Al-Qaeda operatives already in the United States and planning to destroy a high-rise apartment building and to detonate a radiological bomb in Washington, D.C. On April the 21st, 2009, the CIA spokesperson confirmed the accuracy of the information in the OLC memorandum in response to the partial declassification of this and other memoranda. The CIA provided similar inaccurate representations regarding the thwarting of the dirty bomb plotting and the thwarting of the tall buildings plotting and or the capture of Jose Padilla in 17 of the 20 documents provided to policymakers and the Department of Justice between July 2003 and March 2009. A review of CIA operational cables and other CIA records found that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques played no role in the identification of Jose Padilla or the thwarting of the dirty bomb or tall buildings plotting. CIA records indicate that, one, there was significant intelligence in CIA databases acquired prior to and independently of the CIA's detention and interrogation program to fully identify Jose Padilla as a terrorist threat and to disrupt any terrorist plotting associated with him. Two, Abu Zubaydah provided information on the terrorist plotting of two individuals who proposed an idea to conduct a dirty bomb attack, but did not identify their true names. Three, Abu Zubaydah provided this information to FBI special agents who were using rapport-building techniques in April 2002, more than 3 months prior to the CIA's use of DOJ-approved enhanced interrogation techniques. And four, the intelligence community internally assessed that the dirty bomb and tall buildings plots were infeasible as envisioned.
Note, 1319. The CIA's June 2013 response acknowledges that the CIA concluded early on that the dirty bomb plot was never operationally viable. The CIA's June 2013 response states that it took the CIA until 2007 to stop citing the dirty bomb plot in its representations about the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. This is incorrect. The CIA referred to the disruption of this plotting in a representation to the Department of Justice in July 2007, in representations to Congress in late October 2007, and confirmed this information to the press in April 2009. See also the July 20, 2007 Office of Legal Counsel memorandum, which states that interrogations of Zubaydah, again, once enhanced techniques were employed, revealed two Al-Qaeda operatives already in the United States and planning to destroy a high-rise apartment building and to detonate a radiological bomb in Washington, D.C. As described elsewhere in this summary and in the full committee study, on April 21, 2009, in response to the partial declassification of OLC memoranda that month, a CIA spokesperson confirmed the CIA stood by the factual assertions in the OLC memoranda. See Waterboarding Saved L.A., Washington Times, April 25, 2009. The CIA's June 2013 response further states, "Despite the imprecision of our language, we continue to assess it was a good example of the importance of intelligence derived from the detainee program. As described in this summary and throughout the full committee study, In its efforts to obtain legal authorization and policy approval for the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, the CIA represented that the intelligence referenced was obtained as a result of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, not the detainee program, and that the information obtained was unique and otherwise unavailable.
Prior to the capture of Abu Zubaydah on March 28, 2002, the CIA was alerted to the threat posed by Jose Padilla. In early 2001, U.S. government records indicated that a Jose Padilla came to the U.S. consulate in Karachi to report a lost passport. These records indicated that Jose Padilla provided a sketchy story about overstaying his Pakistani visa and that he was allegedly studying Islamic law in Egypt. A search of the State Department's consular lookout and support system was conducted at the time, which resulted in multiple hits for Jose Padilla. State Department records confirmed that Jose Padilla had sought a new passport at the U.S. consulate in Karachi in February 2001 and was subsequently provided with a replacement on March 21, 2001. On December 15, 2001, the CIA provided the FBI with documents obtained in Afghanistan from a purported al-Qaeda-related safe house. Included in the binder were 180 terrorist training camp application forms entitled Mujahideen Identification Form / New Applicant Form. An application form for a then 33-year-old individual with the alias Abu Abdullah al-Muhajir from America was among the forms. Al-Muhajir's form, dated July 24, 2000, listed other identifying information to include an October 18, 1970 date of birth, language skills to include English, Spanish, and Arabic, travels to Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen, and the individual's marital status. On April 10, 2002, the CIA disseminated a cable with intelligence derived from the exploitation of documents obtained during the raids in which Abu Zubaydah was captured. Included in the CIA cable is a translation of a letter from mid-March 2002 that references a 30-year-old English-speaking individual. The cable states that the CIA believed this individual might be involved in a martyrdom operation. The translation disseminated states, "There is a brother from Argentina. He speaks Spanish, English, and Arabic. He is 33 years old. He is married and has two little children. He is a great brother. He knows business and studies English language. He trains in self-defense. He is a good-looking man." The next day, April 11, 2002, the CIA was provided with information from Pakistani officials on a 33-year-old U.S. citizen named Jose Padilla, with the date of birth of October 18, 1970, who was briefly detained by Pakistani officials on April 4, 2002. The Pakistani government provided a copy of Jose Padilla's U.S. passport and relayed that Jose Padilla had overstayed his travel visa and that there were inconsistencies with Jose Padilla's appearance and accent. The CIA's redacted wrote that they would provide the information on Jose Padilla to the State Department's regional security officer and would follow up with Pakistani officials on this matter. The date of birth and travel information included on Jose Padilla's passport matched information on the Mujahideen's identification form, 33-year-old American, referenced as Abu Abdullah al-Muhajir, the CIA had provided to the FBI on December 15, 2001. On April 12, 2002, Pakistani officials provided additional information to the CIA's redacted, specifically that they had detained a U.S. passport holder named Jose Padilla and a British passport holder named Fuad Zuawi, later identified as Binyan Mohammed, who had suspiciously attempted to depart Pakistan. According to the CIA cable, Pakistani authorities provided the information on the pair due to concerns about possible terrorist activity. The cable noted that Pakistani authorities had to release Padilla, but that Padilla's associate remained in detention. When questioned further, the Pakistani authorities stated that they suspected Jose Padilla of being an al-Qaeda member. The information identifying Jose Padilla and Fuad Zuawi as potential terrorists had been provided by the CIA's redacted to CIA headquarters, several CIA stations, and the State Department's Regional Security Officer, RSO, in Karachi, by April 12, 2002. Using the identifying information in Jose Padilla's passport provided by the Pakistani government, the CIA's redacted requested that CIA headquarters and the CIA's redacted station conduct redacted a database search using the name Jose Padilla and the other identifying information provided. The CIA's redacted requested that CIA headquarters and the CIA's redacted station do the same for Padilla's associate, Fuad Zuawi. As a result, by April the 12th, 2002, the CIA was already alerted that a named U.S. citizen, Jose Padilla, had spent significant time in Pakistan and was engaged in possible terrorist activity. 8 days after the CIA was informed that U.S. citizen Jose Padilla was engaged in possible terrorist activity on the evening of April the 20th, 2002, Abu Zubaydah told FBI special agents about two men who approached him with a plan to detonate a uranium-based explosive device in the United States, the dirty bomb. Abu Zubaydah stated he did not believe the plan was viable and did not know the true names of the two individuals, but did provide physical descriptions of the pair. This information was acquired after Abu Zubaydah was confronted with emails that indicated Abu Zubaydah had sent two individuals to KSM. The FBI special agents who acquired this information from Abu Zubaydah believed it was provided as a result of rapport-building interrogation techniques. Abu Zubaydah would not be subjected to the use of DOJ-approved enhanced interrogation techniques until August 2002. More than 3 months later. Within 2 hours of the dissemination of this information, CIA officers, redacted, sent cables to CIA headquarters and select CIA stations, calling attention to the similarities between Abu Zubaydah's reporting and their request from April the 12th, 2002 for information on Jose Padilla and Fuad Zuawi, which had not yet been acted upon by the receiving officers. A travel alert was then initiated for Jose Padilla based on the previous information provided by the Pakistani government. Padilla was located and unknowingly escorted back to the United States by an FBI special agent on May the 8th, 2002. Upon his arrival in the United States, Padilla was found to be carrying $10,526 in U.S. currency, an amount he failed to report. Padilla was interviewed and taken into FBI custody on a material witness warrant. The exploitation of Jose Padilla's pocket litter and phone revealed significant connections to known terrorists, including subjects of FBI terrorism investigations in the United States. In separate debriefings, Padilla and his associate, Binyar Mohammed, maintained that they had no intention of engaging in terrorist plotting, but proposed the dirty bomb plot in order to depart Pakistan, avoid combat in Afghanistan, and return home. Over several years, CIA officers identified errors in the CIA's representations concerning the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques in relation to the Abu Zubaydah reporting pertaining to Jose Padilla and Padilla's alleged plotting. In response to one such representation, the chief of the Abu Zubaydah task force wrote to redacted CTC Legal in 2002 that AZ's info alone would never have allowed us to find Jose Padilla and Binyar Mohammed.
Note, 1344. In an SSCI transcript dated June 12, 2002, entitled Detention of Jose Padilla, the CIA acknowledged it had information on Jose Padilla prior to reporting from Abu Zubaydah. A CIA officer stated, "The Pakistani liaison felt it was important to bring Padilla to our attention, given the recent raids. There was enough information indicating that his travel was suspicious to put us on alert. This suspicion was enhanced during the debriefings of Abu Zubaydah, which occurred on 21st of April. This is the only known CIA representation that did not fully attribute information on Jose Padilla to CIA interrogations."
In 2004, she wrote to correct inaccurate CIA representations, again telling colleagues, "AZ never really gave this is the plot type of information. He claimed every plot slash operation he had knowledge of and or was working on was only preliminary. Padilla and the dirty bomb plot was prior to Enhance, and he never really gave us actionable intel to get them." In October 2005, the chief of CTN's CBRN, Chemical, Biological, Radiological and Nuclear Group, wrote, under the heading, "Don't put all your uranium in one bucket." Jose Padilla. We'll never be able to successfully expunge Padilla and the dirty bomb plot from the law of disruption, but once again, I'd like to go on record that Padilla admitted that the only reason he came up with so-called dirty bomb was that he wanted to get out of Afghanistan and figured that if he came up with something spectacular, they'd finance him. Even KSM says Padilla had a screw loose. He's a petty criminal who is well-versed in US criminal justice. He's got a rap sheet as long as my arm. Anyone who believes you can build an IND or RDD by putting uranium in buckets and spinning them clockwise over your head to separate the uranium is not going to advance Al-Qaeda's nuclear capabilities. The CIA and other US government assessments also called into question the tall buildings plotting, which was loosely based on attacks that were conducted in Moscow in September 1999 using conventional explosives. The tall buildings plotting did not envision the use of conventional explosives. Instead, the plotting envisioned using natural gas to destroy high-rise residential buildings. As planned, the intelligence community assessed the plotting was not viable. An August 4, 2008 US government assessment stated, "On the surface, the idea is simplistic, if not amateurish. The probability of an efficient fuel-air explosion is low." Jose Padilla was detained on a material witness warrant from May 8, 2002 to June 9, 2002, when he was transferred to US military custody and designated an enemy combatant. On January 3, 2006, Jose Padilla was transferred to US law enforcement custody and tried in federal court. On August 16, 2007, Jose Padilla and two co-defendants, Adam Hussein and Kiefer Jayusi, were found guilty of three criminal offenses relating to terrorist support activities from October 1993 to November 1, 2001. The case against Jose Padilla centered on his attendance at a terrorist training camp in Afghanistan in the fall of 2000. Specifically, the terrorist training camp application form acquired by the CIA and provided to the FBI in December 2001. The form was found to have Jose Padilla's fingerprints, as well as identifying data to include his date of birth, languages spoken, and travels. On January 22, 2008, Jose Padilla was sentenced to 17 years in prison. On September 19, 2011, the U.S. 11th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the sentence was too lenient, in part because it did not take into account Jose Padilla's prior criminal offenses. After being detained in Pakistan, Jose Padilla's associate, Binyam Mohammed, was rendered by the CIA, redacted on July, redacted 2002, where he was held by the redacted government. On January, redacted 2004, Binyam Mohammed was rendered to CIA custody. On May, redacted 2004, Binyam Mohammed was transferred to the custody of US military in Bagram, Afghanistan. On September 21, 2004, he was transferred to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Binyam Mohammed was then transferred from US military custody to the United Kingdom on February 23, 2009. Redacted. Lawyers representing Binyam Mohammed sued the government of the United Kingdom to compel the release of documents relating to his whereabouts and treatment after his initial detention in April 2002. In February 2010, a British court compelled the release of a summary of the torture to which Binyam Mohammed was subjected during his detention. In the fall of 2010, the British government awarded Binyam Mohammed a reported $1 million in compensation. 2. The thwarting of the Karachi plots. Summary. The CIA represented that its enhanced interrogation techniques were effective and necessary to produce critical, otherwise unavailable intelligence, which enabled the CIA to disrupt terrorist plots, capture terrorists, and save lives. Over a period of years, the CIA provided the thwarting of the Karachi plots as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. These CIA representations were inaccurate. The Karachi plot was disrupted with the confiscation of explosives and the arrests of Ammar al-Baluchi and Khalid bin Attash in April 2003. The operation and arrests were conducted unilaterally by Pakistani authorities and were unrelated to any reporting from the CIA's detention and interrogation program. Further details. The Karachi plot refers to terrorist plotting that targeted a variety of US and Western interests in the Karachi area, to include the US consulate, named hotels near the airport and beach, US vehicles traveling between the consulate and the airport, US diplomatic housing, US personnel subject to potential sniper attacks, as well as Pakistan's Faisal Army base. CIA records indicate the CIA became aware of the initial plotting as early as September 2002, and that it was disrupted in April 2003 when the remaining plot leaders were arrested in a unilateral operation by Pakistani authorities. While the plot leaders were captured in the process of procuring explosives, they maintained that they were still in the process of locating vehicles, safe house, and suicide operatives at the time of their arrest. The thwarting of the Karachi plot is one of the 8 most frequently cited examples provided by the CIA as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Over a period of years, CIA documents prepared for and provided to senior policymakers, intelligence officials, and the Department of Justice represent the Karachi plots as an example of how key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques had enabled CIA to disrupt terrorist plots and capture additional terrorists. The CIA further represented that the intelligence acquired from the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was otherwise unavailable and saved lives. For example, in November 2007, the CIA prepared and provided a set of talking points to the CIA director for an upcoming meeting with the president regarding the waterboard enhanced interrogation technique. The document includes a section entitled Plots Discovered as a result of EITs, which states, reporting statistics alone will not provide a fair and accurate measure of the effectiveness of EITs. The document then provides a list of key intelligence derived through the use of EITs, stating, CIA's use of DOJ-approved enhanced interrogation techniques as part of a comprehensive interrogation approach has enabled CIA to disrupt terrorist plots. The following are examples of key intelligence collected from CIA detainee interrogations after applying the waterboard along with other interrogation techniques. The Karachi plot, this plan to conduct attacks against the US consulate and other US interests in Pakistan, was uncovered during the initial interrogations of Khalad bin Attash and Anwar al-Baluchi and later confirmed by KSM. Likewise, a CIA-prepared briefing for Vice President Cheney on the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques in March 2005 under a section of the briefing called Interrogation Results asserts use of DOJ-authorized enhanced interrogation techniques as part of a comprehensive interrogation approach has enabled us to disrupt terrorist plots, capture additional terrorists. The Karachi plot plan to conduct attacks against the US consulate and other US interests in Pakistan, plot disrupted. Sources, Khalad bin Attash, Anwar al-Baluchi. KSM also provided info on the plot after we showed him capture photos of Anwar and Khalad. The CIA provided similar inaccurate representations regarding the thwarting of the Karachi plots in 17 of the 20 documents provided to policymakers and the Department of Justice between July 2003 and March 2009. A review of CIA operational cables and other documents found that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, to include the waterboard, played no role in the disruption of the Karachi plots. CIA records indicate that the Karachi plot was thwarted by the arrest of operatives and the interdiction of explosives by Pakistani authorities specifically.
Note 1369. The CIA's June 2013 response concedes that the CIA mischaracterized the impact of the reporting the CIA acquired from detainees on the Karachi plots, and acknowledges that the Karachi plotting was thwarted by the arrest of the operatives and the interdiction of explosives by Pakistani authorities. The CIA does not dispute that Pakistani authorities arrested Anwar al-Baluchi and Khalad bin Attash independently, and that information from the CIA's detention and interrogation program played no role in the arrests. The CIA's June 2013 response states, however, that CIA detainee reporting revealed ongoing attack plotting against the U.S. official presence in Karachi that prompted the consulate to take further steps to protect its officers. This statement is incongruent with CIA records. In response to the reporting cited by the CIA, CIA personnel in Karachi wrote, "While reporting for both al-Baluchi and Ben Attash was chilling, CIA officers had become aware of most of this reporting either through previous information or through interviews of al-Baluchi and Khalad bin Attash prior to their transfer out of Karachi." The CIA personnel in Karachi further reassured addressees that, in December 2002, the U.S. consulate in Karachi took increased steps to protect U.S. consulate personnel. See Volume 2 for additional information.
The CIA had information regarding the Karachi terrorist plotting as early as September 11, 2002. On that day, redacted, a raid conducted by redacted Pakistani authorities, redacted of an al-Qaeda safe house in Karachi, Pakistan, uncovered the perfume letter, named as such because the term perfumes is used as a code word. The letter, written in May 2002, was from KSM to Hamza al-Zubayr, a known al-Qaeda member who was killed in the raids. KSM's letter to al-Zubayr states, "Dear brother, we have the green light for the hotels," and suggests making it three instead of one. By early October 2002, the CIA had completed a search of the names identified in the perfume letter in its databases and found many of the individuals who had assigned roles in support of the operation were arrested by Pakistan authorities during the raids. At least one person in the letter, Khalad bin Attash, a known al-Qaeda operative, remained at large. What remained of the Karachi plotting was disrupted unilaterally by Pakistani authorities as a result of a criminal lead. On April redacted 2003, Pakistani authorities, specifically redacted, received a report that explosives and weapons were to be transported in a pickup truck to a specific location in Karachi. Pakistani authorities made arrangements to intercede, and on April the 29th, 2003, they intercepted the vehicle and confiscated explosives, detonators, and ammunition. The driver of the vehicle provided the location where the explosives were being delivered, leading to the capture of several operatives, including Ammar al-Baluchi and Khalad bin Attash, as well as to the discovery of another explosives cache. A third captured individual stated that the explosives had belonged to Hamza al-Zubayr, the known and now deceased al-Qaeda operative, as well as others residing in the home raided on September 11, 2002, where the perfume letter was discovered. While being arrested, Ammar al-Baluchi was asked by a Pakistani officer about his intentions regarding the seized explosives. Al-Baluchi responded that he was planning to attack the U.S. consulate in Karachi. In foreign government custody, and prior to being rendered to CIA custody and subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, Ammar al-Baluchi continued to provide information about the Karachi plotting to a foreign government officer who was using rapport-building interrogation techniques. The information provided by Ammar al-Baluchi on the plotting included the surveillance conducted, the envisioned targets, and the exact method of attack that was considered for the U.S. consulate in Karachi and other hard targets. Ammar al-Baluchi discussed the use of a motorcycle with a bomb to breach the perimeter wall of the consulate, and then how the operatives would seek to exploit that breach with a vehicle filled with explosives. Ammar al-Baluchi and Khalad bin Attash remained in foreign government custody for approximately redacted weeks, with Ammar al-Baluchi and, to a lesser extent, bin Attash responding to questions on a variety of matters, including the Karachi plotting. On May redacted 2003, Ammar al-Baluchi and Khalad bin Attash were rendered to CIA custody and immediately subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The next day, the CIA disseminated two intelligence reports on the Karachi plots from the interrogations of Ammar al-Baluchi and Khalad bin Attash. The reporting relayed that, one, al-Qaeda was targeting Western interests in Karachi, including the U.S. consulate and Western housing in a specific neighborhood of Karachi, and two, the attack could have occurred as early as late May, early June 2003, but the plotters were still in the process of finding vehicles, a safe house, and the suicide operatives at the time of their arrest. These disseminated intelligence reports were used to support CIA representations in finished intelligence products, talking points, briefing documents, and President Bush's September 6, 2006 speech that the Karachi plot was thwarted, disrupted, or uncovered as a result of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. However, within 24 hours of the dissemination of these intelligence reports, CIA personnel in Karachi responded in an official cable that the information acquired from the CIA detainees and disseminated was already known to the CIA and U.S. consular officials. The cable stated, while reporting from both al-Baluchi and Benitez was chilling, CIA officers had become aware of most of this reporting either through previous information or through interviews of al-Baluchi and Khaled Benitez prior to their transfer out of Karachi. The CIA personnel in Karachi reassured addressees that in December 2002, redacted, the U.S. consulate in Karachi took increased steps to protect U.S. consulate personnel based on similar terrorist threat reporting. According to the cable, Americans in the referenced housing area had already been vacated from the area for several months. The potential for attacks targeting Americans at the airport had been recognized several months ago, and new procedures and security measures had been put in place to minimize the risks associated with the potential terrorist attacks. As noted in November 2007, the CIA prepared and provided a set of talking points to the CIA director for an upcoming meeting with the president regarding the waterboard enhanced interrogation technique. Under a section entitled Plots Discovered as a Result of EITs, the document lists the Karachi plot, stating the disruption was the result of key intelligence collected from CIA detainee interrogations after applying the waterboard along with other interrogation techniques, and that the plotting was uncovered during the initial interrogations of Khaled Benitez and Ammar al-Baluchi, and later confirmed by KSM. While Ammar al-Baluchi and Khaled Benitez were subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, there are no CIA records to indicate that either was ever subjected to the CIA's waterboard interrogation technique. KSM did provide information on the plotting, but was assessed by CIA personnel to be withholding information on the plotting more than a month after the CIA stopped using its enhanced interrogation techniques against KSM. In late April 2003, CIA interrogators confronted KSM with photographs demonstrating that Ammar al-Baluchi and Khaled Benitez had been captured. When the CIA interrogators asked what Ammar al-Baluchi and Khaled Benitez were up to in Karachi, KSM provided information regarding potential targets in Karachi. KSM's belated reporting prompted the CIA's Alec station to write a cable stating, "We were disappointed to see that KSM only made these new admissions of planned attacks in Pakistan after seeing the capture photographs of Ammar al-Baluchi and Khaled. We consider KSM's long-standing omission of this information to be a serious concern, especially as this omission may well have cost American lives had Pakistani authorities not been diligent in following up on unrelated criminal leads that led to the capture of Ammar bin Attash and other probable operatives involved in the attack plans. Simply put, KSM has had every opportunity to come clean on this threat, and from our optic, he deliberately withheld the information until he was confronted with evidence that we already knew about it, or soon would know about it from Ammar and Khaled." KSM's provision of the Pakistan threat reporting only after he was made aware of the capture of the attack planners is viewed as a clear illustration of continued and deliberate withholding of threat information which he believed had not yet been compromised. Ammar al-Baluchi, Khaled Benitez, and KSM remained in CIA custody until their transfer to U.S. military custody at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, in September 2006. All three remain in U.S. military custody. 3. The thwarting of the second wave plot and the discovery of the Algaraba group. Summary: the CIA represented that its enhanced interrogation techniques were effective and necessary to produce critical and otherwise unavailable intelligence, which enabled the CIA to disrupt terrorist plots, capture terrorists, and save lives. Over a period of years, the CIA provided the discovery and/or thwarting of the second wave plotting and the discovery of the Algaraba group as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. These representations were inaccurate. The second wave plotting was disrupted with the arrest and identification of key individuals. The arrests and identifications were unrelated to any reporting acquired during or after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against CIA detainees. Likewise, the Algaraba group was identified by a detainee who was not in CIA custody. CIA detainees subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques provided significant fabricated information on both the second wave plotting and the Algaraba group. Further details. Al-Qaeda's second wave plotting refers to two efforts by KSM to strike the west coast of the United States with airplanes using non-Arab passport holders. While intelligence reporting often conflated the second wave plotting, KSM viewed the plotting as two separate efforts. Neither of the two efforts was assessed to be imminent, as KSM was still engaged in the process of identifying suicide operatives and obtaining pilot training for potential participants when each effort was disrupted through the arrest or identification of the suspected operatives and operational planners. The Algaraba student group was established in late 1999 by Jamaa Islamiya JI leaders, primarily to educate the sons of jailed JI leaders and to groom the students for potential leadership and operational roles in JI. Some members of the Algaraba group reportedly completed militant training in Afghanistan and Pakistan while enrolled at Islamic universities in Karachi. Despite CIA representations to the contrary, intelligence and open source reporting indicate the group was not tasked with, witting, or involved in any aspect of KSM's second wave plotting. The discovery and disruption of the second wave plot, also known as the West Coast plot and the tallest building plot, along with the associated identification, discovery, and capture of the Algaraba cell, is one of the eight most frequently cited examples provided by the CIA as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. Over a period of years, CIA documents prepared for and provided to senior policymakers, intelligence officials, and the Department of Justice represent the thwarting and discovery of the second wave plotting and the identification, discovery, or arrest of the Algaraba group members as an example of how key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques had enabled CIA to disrupt terrorist plots and capture additional terrorists. The CIA further represented that the intelligence acquired from the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques was otherwise unavailable and saved lives. For example, in November 2007, the CIA prepared a briefing for President Bush under a section entitled Plots Discovered as a Result of EITs. The CIA represented that the CIA learned about the second wave plotting and the Algaraba group only after applying the waterboard along with other interrogation techniques. Likewise, on March 2, 2005, the CIA provided the Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel, OLC, with a document entitled Effectiveness of the CIA Counterterrorist Interrogation Techniques. The CIA memorandum stated that the Central Intelligence Agency can advise you that this program works and the techniques are effective in producing foreign intelligence. The CIA stated that enhanced interrogation techniques have enabled CIA to disrupt plots and capture additional terrorists. The document then listed 11 examples of key intelligence collected from HVD interrogations after applying interrogation techniques, including the second wave. This was a KSM plot to use East Asian operatives to crash a hijacked airliner into the tallest building on the US West Coast, Los Angeles, as a follow-on to 9/11. We learned this during the initial interrogation of KSM and later confirmed it through the interrogation of Hambly and Khalad. The Garaba cell, we learned of this 17-member Jamaat Islamiyah cell from Hambly, who confirmed that some of the cell's operatives were identified as candidates to train as pilots as part of KSM's second wave attack against the US. The ensuing May the 30th, 2005 OLC memorandum, now declassified and publicly available, states, "The CIA has informed us that the interrogation of KSM, once enhanced interrogation techniques were employed, led to the discovery of a KSM plot, the second wave, and the discovery of the Garaba cell, a 70-member Jamaat Islamiyah cell tasked with executing the second wave." The CIA provided similar inaccurate representations regarding the discovery and thwarting of the second wave plotting and or discovery of the Al-Garaba group in 18 of the 20 documents provided to senior policymakers and the Department of Justice between July 2003 and March 2009. A review of CIA operational cables and other documents found that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques played no role in the discovery or thwarting of either second wave plot. Likewise, records indicate that the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques played no role in the discovery of a 17-member cell tasked with executing the second wave. Intelligence community records indicate that the initial second wave effort began in parallel with the planning for the September 11, 2001 attacks and included two operatives who were tasked with seeking pilot training. The thwarting of this plotting was unrelated to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. The two operatives, Zakarias Massawi and Farouk Al-Tunizi, aka Obderrouf Jadeh, were known to be engaged in terrorist activity prior to any reporting from CIA detainees. On August 16, 2001, Zakarias Massawi, a French citizen, was arrested on immigration charges by the FBI in Minnesota.
Note, 1408. Zakarias Massawi was later convicted of terrorism-related offenses and sentenced to life in prison. See Department of Justice, Office of the Inspector General, a review of the FBI's handling of intelligence information related to the September 11th attacks, dated November 2004, and released publicly in June 2006, among other sources. See also other open-source records, including November 20th, 2007, Associated Press article entitled "Judge in 9/11 Conspirator Musawi's Case Questions Government Evidence in Terrorism Trials." The article states, "Judge Brinkema said she no longer feels confident relying on those government briefs, particularly since prosecutors admitted last week that similar representations made in the Musawi case were false." In a letter made public November 13, 2007, prosecutors in the Musawi case admitted to Brinkema that the CIA had wrongly assured her that no videotapes or audio tapes existed of interrogations of certain high-profile terrorism detainees. In fact, two such videotapes and one audio tape existed.
At the time of his arrest, the FBI informed the CIA that the FBI considered Massawi to be a suspected airline suicide attacker. On January 17, 2002, the FBI publicly released a statement identifying Farouk Al-Tunizi, a.k.a. Obderrouf Jadeh, a Canadian citizen, as an Al-Qaeda operative possibly prepared to commit future suicide terrorist attacks. Intelligence indicates that Al-Tunizi, who remains at large, withdrew from participating in Al-Qaeda operations. His whereabouts remain unknown. The subsequent second wave effort began with KSM's tasking of several Malaysian nationals, led by Mazran bin Ashad, in late 2001 to attack the tallest building in California using shoe bomb explosive devices to gain access to a plane's cockpit. The thwarting of this plotting was also unrelated to the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. This plot was disrupted with the arrest of Mazran bin Arshad in January 2002. This arrest was unrelated to CIA detainee reporting. Bin Arshad claimed the effort had not been advanced beyond the initial planning stages when KSM shelved the plan in December 2001 when Richard Reed exposed the shoe bomb explosive method. Beginning in July 2002, while in the custody of a foreign government, and after the extensive use of rapport-building interrogation techniques, Bin Arshad provided detailed information on this second-wave plotting, the Malaysian operatives, details on Afifi, Lily, and Taufik, and the proposed method of attack.
Note, 1416. After Bin Arshad was rendered from Redacted Country 1 to Redacted Country 2 for questioning, Redacted Country 2 officials acquired a negligible amount of intelligence from Bin Arshad, and he was eventually redacted to Redacted Country 3. The cable stated, Redacted Country 1 authorities indicated that Mazran bin Arshad was the toughest subject they had ever interrogated, including redacted terrorists. In anticipation of the release of an August 8, 2002 CIA intelligence report describing new information Mazran bin Arshad was providing, the CIA redacted in Redacted Country 3 sent a cable to CIA headquarters which stated, in light of the attention that this report is likely to generate among consumers, it probably warrants reiterating that the interrogation methods being used with Mazran by the redacted police redacted are somewhat unconventional. This has entailed having several Country 3 officers spend an enormous amount of time with Mazran, praying with him, eating with him, earning his trust, listening to him, and eliciting from him. This approach has yielded a significant amount of valuable intelligence.
This information would later be corroborated by other intelligence collection, including, to a limited extent, reporting from CIA detainees in the spring of 2003. Another Malaysian national associated with Mazran bin Arshad, Zaini Zakaria, was identified by a foreign government as a potential operative seeking pilot training as early as July 2002. Zakaria was tasked with obtaining such training by Al-Qaeda, but failed to follow through with the tasking. Zakaria turned himself in to Malaysian authorities on December 18, 2002. Malaysian authorities released Zakaria in February 2009. In 2006, in a White House briefing on the West Coast terrorist plot, the assistant to the President for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism announced that the plot had been disrupted with the arrest of the cell leader, Mazran bin Arshad.
Note, 1422. As described on February 9, 2006, in a White House briefing on the West Coast terrorist plot by Francis Fragos Townsend, assistant to the President for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, the White House emphasized how collaboration with our international partners had disrupted terrorist networks around the world and serious Al-Qaeda plots. Using the West Coast plot as an example, Townsend relayed that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was the individual who led this effort. The cell leader was arrested in February of 2002, and as we begin, at that point, the other members of the cell believed that the West Coast plot had been canceled and was not going forward. The lead guy is arrested, which disrupts it in February of 2002. When asked about whether this plotting could be credited as a disruption, given the belief by some that it never got far enough to be disrupted, Townsend stated, "There is no question in my mind that this is a disruption." See also May 23, 2007, White House press release entitled Fact Sheet, Keeping America Safe from Attack, which states, we also broke up other post-9/11 aviation plots. In 2002, we broke up a plot by KSM to hijack an airplane and fly it into the tallest building on the West Coast. The CIA's June 2013 response acknowledges that operatives involved in the second wave plot were arrested in 2002. The CIA's June 2013 response nonetheless contends that Hambali remained capable of directing the plot at the time of his arrest, and that therefore the arrest of Hambali was a critical factor in the disruption of Al-Qaeda's plan. There are no CIA records indicating that Hambali took any action in furtherance of the plotting. Further, a November 2003 cable states that CIA interrogators believed Hambali's role in Al-Qaeda terrorist activity was more limited than the CIA had assessed prior to his capture and that al-Qaeda members did not consider Hanbali capable of leading an effort to plan, orchestrate, and execute complicated operations on his own. The claim in the CIA's June 2013 response that the capture of Hanbali resulted in large part from information obtained from KSM is inaccurate. Details on the capture of Hanbali are described elsewhere in this summary and in greater detail in Volume 2.
Contrary to CIA representations, the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against KSM did not result in the discovery of KSM's second wave plotting. On March 1, 2003, KSM was captured. He was rendered to CIA custody on March, redacted 2003, and was immediately subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. While being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, and in the weeks afterwards, KSM did not discuss the second wave plotting. On April 19, 2003, 24 days after the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques had ceased, interrogators questioned KSM about Masrin bin Ashad and his role in developing a cell for the second wave attacks. After being told that Masrin bin Ashad had been arrested, KSM told his interrogators, "I have forgotten about him. He is not in my mind at all." KSM also denied that he knew anything about a plot to take out the tallest building in California. KSM's reporting prompted Alex Station to write in a cable that, "We remain concerned that KSM's progression towards full debriefing status is not yet apparent where it counts most, in relation to threats to U.S. interests, especially inside CONUS." According to a CIA cable on May 5, 2003, KSM eventually admitted to tasking Masrin bin Ashad to target the tallest building in California. KSM continued, however, to deny aspects of the plotting, such as denying the use of shoe bombs in the operation, only to confirm the planned use of shoe bombs in later interrogations. On June 23, 2003, an Alex Station officer wrote that, "Given that KSM only admitted knowledge of this operation upon learning of Masrin's detention, we assess he is not telling all he knows, but rather is providing information he believes we already possess." KSM was asked about detained Malaysian national Zaini Zakaria for the first time on July 3, 2003. During the interrogation, the CIA debriefer stated that there was information suggesting that Zakaria was funded by al-Qaeda to take flight lessons in September 2001. KSM denied knowing the name Zaini Zakaria, but later described Musa. The CIA suspected this was an alias for Zakaria. CIA officers at the detention site where KSM was being interrogated then wrote in a cable, "The core problem, once again, is the appearance that KSM gave up this critical information only after being presented with the idea that we might already know something about it." With regard to the Al-Gharaba group, contrary to CIA representations, a wide body of intelligence reporting indicates that the Al-Gharaba group was not discovered as a result of reporting from KSM or Hanbali, nor was the Al-Gharaba group tasked with or witting of any aspect of KSM's second wave plotting. Rather, while in foreign government custody, Hanbali's brother, Gangan Razwan Ganawan, identified a group of Malaysian and Indonesian students in Karachi, witting of Ganawan's affiliation with Jamaah Islamiyah. CIA records indicate that Ganawan stated that the students were in Karachi at the request of Hanbali. In a cable conveying this information, CIA officers recalled intelligence reporting indicating KSM planned to use Malaysians in the next wave of attacks and stated Ganawan had just identified a group of 16 individuals, most all of whom are Malaysians. The cable closed by stating, "We need to question Hanbali if this collection is part of his next wave cell." From July through December 2002, foreign government reporting described KSM's use of Malaysians in the next wave attacks. The reporting included Masrin bin Ashad's information provided while he was in foreign government custody on his four-person Malaysian cell tasked by KSM to be part of an operation targeting the west coast of the United States, as well as July 2002 reporting of Malaysian national Zaini Zakaria seeking pilot training. Contrary to CIA representations, the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques against Hanbali did not result in the discovery of the Garaba cell that was tasked with executing the second wave plotting. As noted in Foreign Government Custody, Hanbali's brother, Gangan Razwan Ganawan, identified a group of Malaysian and Indonesian students in Karachi, witting of Ganawan's affiliation with Jamaah Islamiyah. The cable conveying this information recommended confronting Hanbali with this information. While being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, Hanbali was questioned about the Al-Garaba group and KSM's effort to use airplanes to attack the United States. Hanbali told his CIA interrogators that some of the members of the Al-Garaba group were destined to work for Al-Qaeda if everything had gone according to plan, that one member of the group had ambitions to become a pilot, that he, Hanbali, was going to send three individuals to KSM in response to KSM's tasking to find pilot candidates, but never got around to asking these people, and that KSM told him to provide as many pilots as he could.
Note, 1440. CIA cables describe how Hanbali was repeatedly questioned on this issue while being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. A CIA cable states, "With the gradual ramp-up of intensity of the session and the use of the enhanced measures, Hanbali finally stepped over the line and provided the information." Months later, Hanbali admitted to fabricating the information provided. A cable explained that Hanbali gave answers that were similar to what was being asked and what he inferred the interrogator or debriefer wanted, and when the pressure subsided or he was told that the information he gave was okay, Hanbali knew he had provided the answer that was being sought. The CIA represented in the February 2004 Pavitt memo to the CIA Inspector General, among other documents, that as a result of the lawful use of EITs, Hanbali provided information on the Al-Garaba group, some of whom had been designated as the pilots for the second wave attacks. The CIA's June 2013 response indicates that the CIA continues to assess that multiple Al-Garaba members had an interest in aircraft and aviation. CIA records do not support this assertion. While one member of the Al-Garaba group was interested in airplanes, redacted, a specific Al-Garaba group member, Person 1, intelligence indicates that the interest was unrelated to terrorist activity. A CIA cable states, "After several heart-to-heart chats, Person 1 cried and pledged his full cooperation. Under questioning, Person 1 stated that Gunawan encouraged Person 1 to pursue his interest in aircraft and attempted in late 2001 and early 2002 to recruit him for pilot training. Per the cable, Person 1 deflected these requests from Gunawan. Asked about his interest in aviation, Person 1 stated that he was the only member of the Garaba study group with an interest in aviation, and that since he was about 4 years old, he has been a big maniac for airplanes. Person 1 told his interrogators that he purchased and read multiple magazines about aircraft from various bookstores. A CIA officer wrote, "Asked to provide details on the Boeing 747, Person 1 rattled off an impressive array of facts about the various series of 747s. Person 1's claims were consistent with other intelligence in CIA databases."
Months later, on November the 30th, 2003, after 3 weeks of being questioned by a debriefer almost entirely in Bahasa Indonesia, Hanbali admitted to fabricating a number of statements during the period he was being subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques, including information on efforts to locate pilots for KSM. Specifically, Hanbali stated he lied about the pilot because he was constantly asked about it and under stress, and so decided to fabricate. According to a cable, Hanbali said he fabricated these claims in an attempt to reduce the pressure on himself and to give an account that was consistent with what Hanbali assessed the questioners wanted to hear. The November the 30th, 2003 cable noted that CIA personnel assessed Hanbali's admission of previous fabrication to be credible. Hanbali then consistently described the Al-Garaba organization as a development camp for potential future JI operatives and leadership via a JI cell or an orchestrated attempt by JI to initiate JI operations outside of Southeast Asia. This description was corroborative of other intelligence reporting. An October 27, 2006 CIA cable states that all of the members of the J.I. Algaraba cell have been released. While in April 18, 2008, CIA intelligence report focusing on the Jamaat Islamiyah and referencing the Algaraba group makes no reference to the group serving as potential operatives for KSM's second wave plotting.
4. The thwarting of the United Kingdom Urban Targets plot and the capture of Dhiren Barak, a.k.a. Issa al-Hindi. Summary. The CIA represented that its enhanced interrogation techniques were effective and necessary to produce critical, otherwise unavailable intelligence, which enabled the CIA to disrupt terrorist plots, capture terrorists, and save lives. Over a period of years, the CIA provided the capture of Dhiren Barak, a.k.a. Issa al-Hindi, and the thwarting of Barat's United Kingdom Urban Targets plot as evidence for the effectiveness of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques. These representations were inaccurate. The operation that resulted in the identification of UK-based Issa, the identification of Issa as Dhiren Barak, Dhiren Barak's arrest, and the thwarting of his plotting resulted from the investigative activities of UK government authorities. Contrary to the CIA representations, KSM did not provide the first reporting on a UK-based Issa, nor are there records to support the CIA representation that reporting from CIA detainees subjected to the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques resulted in Dhiren Barak's arrest. After the arrest of Dhiren Barak, CIA officers prepared a document for UK authorities which stated, while KSM tasked al-Hindi to go to the US to surveil targets, he was not aware of the extent to which Barat's planning had progressed, who Issa's co-conspirators were, or that Issa's planning had come to focus on the UK. The plotting associated with Dhiren Barak was assessed by experts to be amateurish, defective, and unlikely to succeed. Further details. Dhiren Barak, a.k.a. Issa al-Hindi, met with al-Qaeda leaders in Pakistan in early 2004 to discuss potential terrorist attacks against targets in the United Kingdom. Intelligence reporting indicates that Barak spent February and March of 2004 in Pakistan with senior al-Qaeda explosives expert Abd al-Rahman Muhajir, likely refining plans to use vehicle-based bombs against UK targets. In July 2004, casing reports associated with Issa were recovered in a raid in Pakistan, associated with the capture of Abu Talha al-Pakistani.
Note, 1450. The CIA has represented that the use of the CIA's enhanced interrogation techniques resulted in the identification and arrest of Abu Talha al-Pakistani. The CIA's June 2013 response states that Abu Talha's arrest and debriefing was invaluable to our overall understanding of Issa's activities and the threat he posed, and claims that Abu Talha's arrest would not have happened if not for reporting from CIA-held detainees. CIA records do not support this statement. CIA records indicate that Abu Talha was identified and located independent of information from CIA detainees. Abu Talha al-Pakistani, a Pakistani with links to UK extremists, was identified through information derived from British redacted intelligence collection and the UK investigation of UK-based extremist Babar Ahmed and his associates. These individuals were already under investigation by the redacted foreign partner. Further, Babar Ahmed was known